Welcome back to Rediscover, where we embark on a journey to rediscover Jesus
and how he continues to transform our hearts. I'm Kara.
And I'm Darby. And today, we're going to be first talking about how we rediscovered Jesus this past week.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and start with my story. I actually got to go to Mexico, to Guadalajara, and it was so fun. But I'm going to, like, for this story to make sense, and for the rest of what we're going to talk about to make sense, I need to, like, I'm out of breath.
Take a deep breath.
I need to give context. So about a year ago, I was just, like, I don't even remember where I was, but I was praying, probably in a temple. I think I was actually on the grounds, like, it was a Sunday. And I felt, like, such a clear prompting that I needed to, like, move out of the state. And it was crazy because I was, like, in the start of, like, going through a breakup, but, like, it was confusing, and I was, like, working at the MTC, and it was just really odd timing. Mm-hmm. But it felt like it needed to be temporary. It didn't feel like a permanent move or anything. And then I was talking to someone about it, and they're like, what if you do, like, a humanitarian trip? And I was like, yeah, that's a good idea. I've never done one. Didn't even think about that. So I got another job to start, like, saving up for school and for this humanitarian trip. And then I had the impression to go to cosmetology school, like, a few months later. And when that happened, I ran into the sales team that I sold for, and they told me about this humanitarian, like, charity trip that they go on. And it was, like, I didn't know it at the time, it wasn't super clear, but it was the answer to these questions that I'd been asking. Like, yeah. I was trying to follow the Lord, I just didn't know quite how. And so not only did I get to leave temporarily to California for the summer, but then I got to go on this charity trip. And when I was there last week, the family that we were building this house for didn't have, like, anything. They only had, like, they lived in this brick shack thing. It was one bedroom. I'm not quite sure. I didn't get to see inside that much. They probably all slept on one bed, though. Like, there was seven of them. That's mom smart. And dad, five kids.
Jeez.
It was so humbling, and I wanted to share this because the week before, I had been so, like, so much anxiety, so much in my head about, like, specifically about clothes. I was just like, I need to wear this. I need to, like, buy new clothes. I, like, can't go out wearing this, and I need to wear this. And so when I got there, it was just, like, suddenly all my problems were gone, and, like, the Lord showed me, like, how the world actually is and what actually matters.
I love that.
And this week I haven't had, like, any anxiety, and it's simply just because, like, the Lord, like, healed my heart through these people, and it was just a really special experience, and I'm so grateful I got to go.
I love that. I think that's really cool, like, especially how the Lord, like, pieced that together for you from so long ago, that it all kind of strung together to make that realization happen for you when you needed it this very week.
Yeah. It was really crazy. Cool. But then Kara had some thoughts that, like, perfectly aligned with this.
Yeah, this week I was thinking a lot about just a few different things, mostly about General Conference, and I had been studying back through some of the talks, and during Elder Suarez's talk, I had a thought about, I was just thinking a lot about overcoming the world, as he talked about, and just living for the Lord instead of the world, and that was kind of, like, just, like, rung in my mind this past, like, 2 weeks of, like, how can I better live for Jesus and not for, you know, worldly things and what other people think about me or about my clothes or about my Instagram followers or whatever it is, you know? And I had, during that talk, I had wrote down that very quote, live for the Lord, not for the world. And when I wrote down the word world, I like recognized that Lord is embedded in world, which is also kind of ironic because he created this world, which is kind of
cool. That's crazy.
But, and I realized if you just kind of scramble the letters, you can write out Lord. And all it takes is for you to drop the W and to move the L to the beginning. And I wrote in my general conference notes, like, try to think of, the Spirit impressed upon my mind to write, like, try to think of an analogy to explain how you do live for the Lord and not the world, where you re-scramble the letters, you know. This is kind of the prompting that I received during general conference. So just this last week when I was reviewing my notes, I looked at that and I was like, yeah, what kind of analogy could be created from that? And the Spirit like quickly impressed upon my mind that when you think about living for the world, it's oftentimes tied into like worrying about your image and what people think of you and worrying about worldly possessions. And
yeah, and that's exactly what I was thinking about the week before I went on this trip.
Which is so crazy.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking, like, how beautiful it, to just think, like, who cares about those things? Like, cross off that W. Who cares about those worldly things? Get rid of that. And then take that L and move it to the front. And I thought about L also standing for love. Like, love first. Put that at the forefront. And I feel like that's everything that Jesus is and who he was when he was here. He just loved first, and he served others, and he focused on others, and he just loved people. And I want to be better at that, and I feel like that was a little bit of like a recipe to me from the Spirit of how I can overcome the world as I love people instead of like loving the things of the world, or even like loving myself in like a self-loathing kind of way, you know?
Yeah, that reminds me of when you told me about Sterling, like his New Year's resolution or something?
Yes.
Like how he wants to see people. Like see them for like who they are. And I think last time we talked about that, I mentioned how I was at the gym and I was having a lot of anxiety and I started just like see people, like these random people walking in the gym, like, and I was thinking about that even today when I was like out and about, like that person, like God created them, he loves them, and like you said, when Jesus was here, he showed that love perfectly in so many ways, like miracles, especially, and the most important one, the atonement.
Yes.
Like, he just loves us so much.
Yeah, he's the best example. And then, too, I love that his disciples, those who follow him, just went around doing good and seeing others. You know, I love all the stories of Jesus and disciples, like, stopping at a random city just for that one person. Mm. And, you know, stopping amidst the crowd while that woman touched the cloak. Like, all of them, you know, with Jesus as the leader, would stop for anyone, whoever they were, diseased, sick, sad, dead. You know, they stopped and they saw who needed help and who needed him. And I feel like that's how I want to be. I want to be a seer of people and find the ones who need Jesus and help them be pointed that way.
I think, like, one of the most important things for someone, no, the most important thing for someone to feel is the love of Christ.
Yeah.
And I feel that love when I read the scriptures and when I go to the temple, especially.
Yes.
And when we have conversations like this, like, this, like, fuels, like, I mean, you have a husband. I think that helps a little bit. Like, I don't really have someone that I can just, like, talk to instantly about the things I'm feeling.
Yeah.
So, like, this is fun.
it's so fun for me. I love it.
I think just talking about Jesus, like, yeah, that's why missionaries' testimonies grow so much, is because they're talking about Jesus and they're forming their testimony while they're talking about him.
All day long.
All day long.
Yeah.
Literally the best thing ever.
And I mean, that's what God tells us. Like, preach of Christ, talk of Christ, you know, live for Christ.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's partially why also we're here doing this podcast. We just want to talk about Jesus.
Yeah.
And share him.
Yeah.
With other people.
And it helps us focus our minds, like, on what's important. Like, the Lord, not the world.
Yes.
I was telling Kara that I came across this scripture this week. It's in Alma chapter 17. It's in verse 14. And I'll just read like the part that stuck out to me. He's talking about the Lamanites. And he says that, for they had undertaken to preach the word of God to a wild and hardened and a ferocious people. A people who delighted in murdering the Nephites and robbing and plundering them, and their hearts were set upon riches or upon gold and silver and precious stones. And I was telling Kara about how, yes, I went to this humanitarian trip and it was the most humbling experience, but afterwards we flew to Cabo and we were on like this 5-star resort, like
stark difference,
like poor to so rich. And like when you're in the sales industry, like everyone just has so much money, it's so easy to focus on the money and the prizes and all these cool things that you can get and win and buy, and it's so easy to focus on that. So this just like totally brought me back. Obviously the humanitarian brought me back, but reading this after the Cabo trip brought me back to like, these were people who delighted in like literally sinning, like killing people, which is crazy. And, but also riches and precious stones. And they had hard hearts. They were a wild and ferocious people.
Yeah.
And it talks about repentance, like throughout this chapter. It says, notwithstanding the promises of the Lord were extended unto them on the conditions of repentance.
I like that.
Which is so good. And like whenever we have our hearts set upon riches, we can always repent.
Totally. I think that's like one of the most beautiful principles of the Book of Mormon. It's like you watch over and over again the pride cycle that happens. It's like people like, they get rich, they're doing well, they're so blessed by the Lord, and then it's like they're like too blessed, they get like conceited, and then they just focus on the riches, and they go into the depths, and then they repent, and right, and then they're blessed, and it just does this constant cycle. I think that's one of the reasons why the Book of Mormon is like such a precious gift for our day, and it's so important for us to recognize our own like pride cycles in our lives, and because I feel like I go through those, you know, daily sometimes of like, oh my. Let me just, I think that's why the prophets talk about daily repentance, you know, to knock yourself out of that cycle. And the Book of Mormon is a great example of how to, and I think it's just like what we're talking about is living for the Lord and focusing on Him and others rather than ourselves and our riches.
Yeah. And I think like focusing on the Lord, not only does that pull us out of that pride cycle, but also gratitude.
Yes.
Like President Nelson... 4 years ago.
Whoa.
That was 4 years ago.
What is 4 years ago? What are you getting to?
4 years ago when he...
We didn't know it was in your
mind. Whoa. 4 years ago when he... the church posted the gratitude video. The healing power of gratitude.
Oh, I love that video.
Love that video. That was in... I was in the MTC.
Oh, wow.
That was 4 years ago. And it's true. Every day, all day, that gratitude is healing.
Yes.
And that's just exactly like what I experienced, and what we can choose to experience is that when we're grateful for all the Lord has given us, but when we also realize like maybe not even like the temporal things He's given us, but the eternal things He's given us, like our families. And eternal principles.
Yeah.
Like the plan of salvation.
Real importance.
Yeah. That's when we have joy. That's when the pride cycle is stopped.
Yeah. I love that. And I feel like one quote that I love that one of my friends shared with me, one of my friends, Brinley, she told me that she kept a gratitude journal. And in the front of her journal, she had written a quote from, I'm not sure her, we'll have to ask her. But it's, you're only as happy as you are grateful. And I love that. And it goes right along that it's like, it's so true that like pure joy is like conditional upon your gratitude.
Yeah.
And how thankful you are.
Yeah.
And I think that is also what keeps us like humble and closer to Jesus and more open to Him is when we have a thankful heart.
Yeah. I imagine, like, when you say that, I imagine, like, these levers. Like, there's, like, gratitude and happiness. And, like, you can have happiness for a little bit.
Yeah, and from a lot of things.
For a lot, yeah. For yeah. so many things. But that, without gratitude, like, that happiness will fall.
Ooh, I like that.
Fall low. And the gratitude is what brings us that lasting happiness. And that reminds me. Oh, no, it's on my phone. We looked up. I'm going to grab it.
Okay, grab it.
No. Perfect. When Kara said that, I tried to find the quote online. So I looked up, "You are as happy as you are grateful, LDS prophet." And it literally, AI, you know how AI has been doing that Google thing?
Yes.
It came up with, "According to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Lord has said, and he who receiveth all things with thankfulness shall be made glorious." Like, what? That is so good. That just makes me want to think about, like, what glorious actually means. But, like, the Lord is
glorious.
Glory.
Yeah.
He is glory.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of envision light.
Mm-hmm.
I think of that. And so I think we all just need to be more grateful. And that's an invitation we're going to extend to you guys, is to focus on gratitude this week and watch how it shapes your testimony and your relationship with the Savior and how it literally changes your week and heals your heart.
Yes. Oh, I love the heals your heart. I feel like that is like the message that we'd love to just like scream to the world, is that Jesus can heal your heart,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the gospel can heal your heart. And we definitely believe that gratitude is one of those pathways that leads us back to him and that leads us to that healing that we all need and long for.
And yeah. So do that this yeah. week and let us know what happens. You can shoot me a DM. Shoot us a DM on our Instagram.
Yes.
Rediscover. Yeah, we'd love to hear. Maybe we'll do like a question box. Like, what did you, like, what happened?
Yeah.
What happened with your week when you were grateful?
We'd love to know.
Yeah. But yeah, we love you.
Yes, thanks
and
for watching.
Jesus loves you. Watch on all platforms every week.
Every week.
Probably.
Right? Yes, yeah. yeah. We don't know a day, but one of the days in the week is going to be coming out.
You'll find out.
Okay. Well, we love you guys.
We love you.
And Jesus loves you more.
Jesus loves you. Bye.
Bye.